2-1-0.
Mira, y'all, this is Natasha with Norteño T10. Now on Latina Podcasters Network. It still feels off, but I'm not gonna fuck with it. Oh, okay. We're already rolling.
Oh.
Yeah. All right, 2-1-0. Hey guys, it's Natasha with Latina T10 Podcast. Thank you to VodPod Media for housing and producing, and to Latina Podcast Network for having me in your network. Guys, if you're watching, go listen. If you're listening, go watch. Either way, subscribe, like, share, tell your friends, tell whoever, your Sancho, Sancho, Tia, Tio, whatever. Tell everybody. Tell everybody. yes. And today I have an awesome guest I'm super excited for. Please introduce yourself.
Hey, what's up? I am Chef Sydney. I'm a private chef here in San Antonio, based in San Antonio, because I will travel for the right price.
Period. Same.
Yes. I just competed on Chopped on Food Network a few weeks ago, and that went pretty well. I'm sure we'll talk about that. Yes. But yeah, I do specialize in date nights, private parties, cooking classes, virtual and in person. You might know a little bit.
I'm still waiting for the recipes.
Yeah. I'm going to write those ones. Yeah. but yeah, so that's a little bit about me.
Awesome. Okay. So what got you started? Like, what made you want to be a chef?
I have been cooking all my life, other than playing sports, which being a professional athlete really wasn't it for me, because you have to practice to do those, and I didn't like practicing. So cooking was like, that came in when I was 12. My sister, she started cooking for the holidays. She's 15 years older than I am, and she was getting like some attention. They were like, oh, what is this? You know, the very first dish she made was, we call it mushroom caviar. And basically it's like chopped up, minced up mushrooms that are roasted with garlic, salt, pepper, you know, things like that. And she served it on like a crostini, and everybody just went wild for that.
Yeah.
And to this day, it's like one of my favorite dishes. But that is the dish that kind of like sparked my interest. And then when I was 15, I got my first job at Whataburger.
Okay.
And, you know, when you're in high school and you have a job, you're just making some money to go eat with your friends or buy the shoes your mom didn't want to buy. So, but I knew something was different about me, because like I gave a fuck and I cared if your fries were fresh, and I wanted to be on the harder stations so I could make sure that the food was going out like speedily and correct. So also when I was 15, I went to Judson.
Okay.
And it was the year that Judson and Wagner split, and my class got to choose where we went to, and I chose to go to Wagner, even though I was on varsity tennis and my friends were there in the legacy. But Wagner had the culinary program.
Oh.
So I made that decision to go to Wagner, and a college rep came when I was there, I think when I was a senior, and I was just jaws dropped. She was from Johnson & Wales, and okay, very prestigious school that has a culinary program, but people think that it's a culinary school. But I was super intrigued and ended up choosing to go there as well. So all my decisions have just been made around cooking, and that's just kind of what I've always been led to do, not anything of being forced, or it wasn't like necessarily around me. Those are just the decisions that I've always been led to do.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Like, you knew.
I just knew. Yeah. I just knew. Yeah.
How accurate are these like shows that depict like chef life or, you know, kitchen life?
I think they have some accuracies, but ultimately it's however it's skewed. But for the most part, they are definitely pretty accurate. If we're speaking about, you know, like my experience specifically with Chopped, they didn't really show a lot of individual kind of stories. Like they normally do. Usually when I watch a show like that, I'm like, oh, everybody's got a story. Yeah, everybody's like, grandma just passed away or whatever. You know, I'm like, ugh. But they didn't really do that. And I kind of like that, because when I went, I really did have a story. And so I'm kind of glad that they didn't go that route, because then I didn't want them to like make you look like a certain way. But you know, some of the shows are definitely more spot on than others, but most of them are just for show. Like they want the personality over,
yeah,
you know, food.
What about shows like, I'm trying to remember and I'm so mad that I don't remember it right now because it's a really good show. It's like they just won like an Emmy.
Oh, like The Bear.
Bear, yeah.
Yeah, that is one's that... good one. Oh, yeah. Okay. That one I feel like the most connected with.
Okay.
Just as far as authenticity.
Yeah.
As far as the stress of being a chef.
Yeah.
I don't think that most shows give you that. Mm-hmm. They try to give you that with time. Mm. But time isn't necessarily something that is going to be prevalent in the kitchen unless you're me. Every kitchen that I've worked in, like I every time I did this I was like, see, I'm made for Chopped. But I will, like when I was at my last restaurant, I would go to the store like the day of and like run in the store and get some stuff last minute and go in there and like prep it up real quick. And so I really was living the Chopped life,
like, before you
unintentionally run. yeah. But most of them are, they just, the time is not realistic. Like, you're not going to really have only 30 minutes to do this whole thing and present it to somebody. Mm. But The Bear, I would say, definitely gives you that stressful feel when you watch it.
Oh, I was like, super stressed.
Yeah, no. Yeah, and it's definitely real. And just, I like that there was, like, a total difference. And I like that they brought it to... I forget the main character's name, but I like it. They brought him to back home.
Yes.
Instead of like bringing somebody out of their element to the fine dining place.
Right.
But you know, I can relate to wanting to elevate things, mm-hmm. you know, all the time, everywhere I go, you know, just the quality of ingredients and the quality of service. Everywhere I go, I can relate with that.
Yeah. How do you find what, I guess like, the niche of cooking? I'm not sure like the actual like verbiage, but how do you find that as a chef, or do you have that?
Girl, I don't know. I don't live in a box. I don't know a box. People try to put me in a box.
Yes.
You can't put a baby in a box.
Period. Yeah.
I'm supposed to, but you know, you're supposed to, if you're going to do soul food, you do soul food.
Oh.
If you want to do, you know, fine dining, you do fine dining. I do it all. But it also makes it a little bit more difficult for me to convey what I do to people because they want to know, do you do this? Like, this is what you do. But I'm just holding strong with being an eclectic person that yeah. can be able to give any client whatever they desire.
Yeah.
Especially me being a private chef and a personal chef, those things come in handy to me. But it's kind of hard to put it in black and white, like on your website, what does it look like? You know, how do I boil it down to summarize what it is that I actually do?
I have the exact same problem. It's not a problem.
It's not a problem.
But I guess issue with people is they're like, well, what do you do? And so my response now is a lot. And so, but I'll be very honest, because people will ask you, it doesn't mean that they care.
Right.
And I'm not about like wasting my time and energy. Yeah. So do you care?
Yeah.
And if you do, I'll
right. like roll or that what is it out. That you're looking for? Like, are you looking for something?
Right.
Or are you just like, sorry.
I can do or have done or are doing whatever it is that you need.
Right. Or I can get somebody that right. can do it.
Right. Yeah. So I understand that. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of shitty that you have to, or you're supposed to like pick a certain style of food, right? Or a certain style of cooking. Like, just do whatever the fuck you want.
Exactly.
To.
I mean, that's society in general. Like,
it is.
They try to make you choose. I am nothing and I'm everything and I'm all of it and
yes.
none of it at the same time.
Yes.
Like, that's me. Yeah. Take it or leave it.
Yes. But that's my energy too. I love it. Yeah. I vibe with it. Yeah. So I recently went to one of your in-person cooking classes. Your first one.
Yes.
Right?
My first one, yes.
Honestly, best pizza I've ever had in my life.
That's what I'm
not
saying.
Just saying that, I promise.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm like, I will eat this. I make that for me and my son once a week at least.
Yeah.
And then I eat it for like a days after. Like, yeah. I make a bunch. I don't know. I had these two things and I wanted to make a pizza. And I did a little light research and then Just kind of been dabbling in different kind of ways,
yeah.
You know, experimenting with what can go. Like we did that in the class, mm-hmm. You know, it's cottage cheese is what I use. And
which is crazy.
Yeah, but you know, there has to be a way to make it vegan or make it gluten-free.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like playing with those ideas. But
I got so many DMs and people are like, where'd you get that? Or like, what is that? And I was like, I made it with my hands.
Yes. You did a great job, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It was so good. Yeah. Like, I met up with my best friend after that, and I was like, you have to try this. Like, yeah. It's starting to cool down, so you have to try it. And, like, her eyes roll back. She's like, oh, my God. Yes. I was like, right?
Yes.
And this is even, like, and fresh out the oven.
Right. And then next day is actually even better because the sauce, like, soaks into the bread. Yes. Into the bread. And I put mine in my air fryer.
Yeah.
And brings it back to life.
And her husband is a chef. And so we always like talk shit to each other. And so I took the shrimp pizza over there, the Alfredo, and I was like, try this. I said, I need you to try this before I leave. And he was like, all right, whatever. He's like, it's probably trash. And I was like, okay.
Right.
And he ate it and he goes, look, I'm not going to lie. He was like, that's one of the best crusts I've ever had. And he's like, I'm a crust guy. He's like, it's really easy to fuck up a crust. And he's like, this is really good.
I was like,
my first time.
And you know? My first time.
I mean, I've done before like the self-rise yeast or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not the same.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
So I'm forever going to do it your way.
Exactly.
So.
And it's super easy.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to continue to have classes I'm going to put the recipes I'm working on an ebook.
Ooh.
And then eventually I'll work on a cookbook.
Yes.
So. That'll definitely be in there for sure.
I love that.
And I'm looking to have that done before the end of the year. So
yes.
Hopefully before the end of the summer.
Yeah. So you actually sell your dressings, right?
I have a couple of dressings. I'm working on expanding my product line, but I'm going to start with these. The first two, it's a cilantro crema.
Mm.
And then the other one is a Caesar dressing. The Caesar dressing I actually did on the show on Chopped.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't show it on the episode, but Amanda Freytag, she said that it was so good that I needed to put it in a bottle. So I did.
No, literally.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, again, yeah. One of the best Caesar dressings I've had.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say I'm picky. I feel like I have a refined palate.
You have standards.
So,
and
I do.
Not
I
a lot of these
do.
Places are hitting those standards.
They're
I
not.
Know it because
yeah.
I go to them.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I'm not a chef, but I'm definitely a foodie. I've always loved food. And so I know when something's good.
Mm-hmm.
And I will never, like, I do my Foodie Fridays. Like, I'll never steer anybody the wrong way because I'm like, this is good.
Mm-hmm.
Or this is.
It's okay.
It's all right.
Yeah. It's okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some people might like it. Not my favorite.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so how did you get on Chopped? Like, what was that journey?
So they reached out to me. I guess that they do, like, scouting as well as taking applications. So they reached out to me via email. Every time they do that, because guys, when I was on Guys Grocery Games, they did it too, but they hit me up in my Instagram DM.
Dang.
So every time they do it, I'm just like, is this a scam? It seems very, very scammish. Joanne the scammer. But I answer them every time though. I'm just like, let me see what's up.
Yeah.
So they were just like, you know, we want to know if you're interested kind of thing. You could go, we can set up a call. So I think I called her the next day or she called me the next day and just kind of, this is what's going on. Are you interested? I'll set up a Zoom with our producers I think it was the next couple of days. So I did that one. It was two interviews that I did with the producers. And then after, I think, probably like a month and a half, maybe, I heard back from them saying that they wanted me on the show. And
exciting.
Yeah. But then there was like a stall. They made us wait. We probably waited maybe another month and a half, maybe 2 months. They had to get, it's a, since it was a special episode, they had to get like some more ducks in a row.
Mm-hmm.
So they pushed back the date, which worked out perfectly for me, just the way my life was set up at the time.
Yeah.
It worked out perfectly. And I went out to Brooklyn. You have to pay for your own flights. They don't tell you that.
Wow.
They give you a stipend at the end, but you know, you have to, you got to front a little bit. So I paid for my flight. I actually got a, you know, it's all a mindset thing, right? So I took out a credit card so I can make sure that this happens. I bought a first class ticket because I wanted that.
As
like,
you should.
Exactly. I wanted that, you know, millionaire mindset, yes. You know? So I go out there and I'm just living it up. It was beautiful in Brooklyn, mm-hmm. that weekend. Like beautiful fall day, perfect fall weekend. Yeah. But I did everything. I immersed myself in New York. Like I didn't have no more days left. Like I got pizza. I rode the bikes, at night and at the same time. I went to fine dining restaurants. Funny story. I'm talking about that. My friend works at a fine dining restaurant. It's called Place de Feats.
Okay.
And went to go visit him. He hooked me up. You know, it was a really, really nice dinner. On one of the dishes, one of my favorite dishes, it had these like finger limes on them. I was like, oh, these are great. And I was talking to him, telling him that I had already had a reservation for the next day at Oxalis. And he was like, oh, our sister restaurant is Oxalis.
Oh.
He's like, I'm going to call him and tell him that you're coming. And I said, okay, cool. And on the reservation, when I reserved it like a month before, I put the reason why I was there because I was I won a competition.
Uh-huh.
This is prior to the competition. I was competing the next day. I hadn't even competed yet.
Dang.
But I wrote that on there. It's yeah. Millionaire mindset.
Yeah.
And so when I get in there, they greet me. They're like, oh, hey, chef, how you doing? And I was like, hey. All
right.
Take me to my table. And they got this like little card. And it says, congratulations on your win.
Oh.
And I'm like, that's what I'm talking about. And then they're coming up to me. And they're like, oh, so what competition did you win? And I'm just like, oh, you know, just I can't really talk about it. You know, cooking show. And in that sequence of the dinner also had finger limes in it, and it was one of my favorite dishes that they had. And wouldn't you know it, finger limes was in one of my baskets.
Crazy.
That I opened.
Okay, maybe I'm like, just I don't know, but what are finger limes?
So finger limes are like small limes, but they're like shaped like a finger.
What?
And you open them up and you squeeze them out, and they have like, you know, like the pulp in a lime.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a bunch of those, but like little baby ones. So it looks like, they call it lime caviar. So you can like put it on like the top of something.
What?
And it'll give like little pops of flavor.
I've never seen that in my life.
I had never seen it before. So when I opened my basket, I was like, what the fuck is this? And then they explained like some of the, like the weird ingredients, and they said they were finger limes. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
I was like, no way. that blew my mind, and like nobody could really understand what I was like, oh,
that's
my gosh,
crazy.
That is so crazy.
It's a sign.
It's, you know, it's, yeah. It's like that movie Slumdog Millionaire. Have you seen it?
Mm-hmm. A long time ago.
It's one of my favorite movies because it talks about basically like, is it destiny or is it written? You know, the guy went through all this horrible stuff in his life, which may seem horrible, but it was the best things to happen to him to get him to the $1 million that he ended up winning.
Right.
You know, so I felt very much like Slumdog Millionaire for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So okay. That was pretty cool. What was it like?
It was, yeah. the experience of the show was, once you got in there, it was definitely very high energy, but it was like, it was a lot of waiting in between things.
Okay.
And then once you actually get in there, it's just like, okay, y'all cooking now. I was like, what? And so this season was 16 chefs, and we're like all in this room, like probably about the size of this. And we're just like in there. It was kind of like we were sardines at first. They get us all mic'd up and stuff. And then we finally head out there. And this kind of season, it was like all of a lot, wheel of chance. So they spin the wheel to find out who's the first four to go. And I got spun. I was the last of the four to get chosen. But I was in the first round. And I at first didn't want to be chosen first.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, you know, if I can get like chosen in the middle, that would give me better chances, because this kind of competition was like, if you win, you have to continue to win. You can't lose.
Dang.
You lose and you're out. And so, but I did end up winning the first round,
uh-huh.
like the whole first round. So I have the entree, the appetizer, entree, and dessert. I won them all.
Uh-huh.
Like I won. it's still crazy to me, but so that makes me a CHOP champion.
Yeah.
And then I go on to the second round, and then the wheel chooses three more people to go against me to try and take my title. And then I make it all the way up to the dessert round in that one. And then that's where I ultimately get chopped. Dang. But it was such a good experience. Like, I learned so much. I learned what I needed to learn.
Okay.
And I also came out with a win, which I needed at the time. I needed the, you know, a win. I was praying hard, you know. There couldn't have been any other way that could have happened. And I wouldn't have changed a single thing. Minus what I would have cooked. Like, you know, you go through those moments. You're like, I could have did this. I should have did that as far as cooking to win. Like, I hate losing. I hate losing. Like, I cried at the end because I lost. Not because, you know, my story was whatever it was at the time. No, I cried because I lost. Yeah. I hate losing. But I think the biggest takeaway for me was keep it simple, stupid. Just I seem to before kind of overcomplicate things. Even the menus that I would send to clients or the dishes that I was doing, you know, I have all these things in my bag. They end up coming out on one plate, and I don't have to bring out all of my tricks in one plate. I can do, you know, something here. Next time I can do something else. So that was the biggest takeaway for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't imagine like putting together a full, you know, dinner menu or whatever for people, because it's true. Like, you have all these things that you can do that you're great at, but sometimes it is like, sometimes I'll read menus and I'm like, this is a lot. Like, I mean, it's great, but I'm like, am I going to be able to taste everything? Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I like when I can taste everything. But so what are the dishes that you made?
Some of the dishes that I made, so the first course, I don't remember what I made the first course. I know that I made a risotto.
Okay.
That's what I know. The second course, we got like watermelon curry. We got frog's legs, a couple of things. So when I opened that basket, like I knew in my head that I wanted to do a risotto. I was like, my first round didn't really go like over so well, but I made it past. So I'm like, let me do something that's, you know, gonna like get me noticed.
Yeah.
And I know that I can do risotto, and I know I can do it quickly. But risotto is one of those things that you don't want a competition because it can go badly. Well, it turned out great, and the judges loved it, and I was like, yes, I'm accomplished at that point. Like, I made risotto, I'm freaking chopped. But they loved it, and I went on to the next round. I did. I do a really good no-bake cheesecake. Like, I do that on the normal, like, on usually my menus. So I did that also on the show, and I used some of their ingredients that were in the basket, and that was also a hit. So that's going to be something that's going to be in the rotation.
Nice.
On my menus going forward. Another dish I made was a grilled Caesar salad, which is also something that I do normally, but that's where that Caesar dressing came from.
Yeah.
You know? I was like, let me just go ahead and I just got to go with what you know sometimes and not overthink what you want to do and just kind of go with what you know. And I did like a candied, like we had a Wagyu beef bacon and I candied it with, they gave us like this comic cake, like a cake, but it looked like comic, like out of a comic book. So I used the frosting off of that and made candied bacon with it.
Oh, my God.
For the salad. And then we had to use a pot roast in a can.
What?
And that was the ingredient that we spun for, like, spin the wheel, you find the denomination. You have to use that the ingredient as your fourth ingredient. And that was pot roasting in a can. But I took the potatoes out of the pot roasting can, and I fried those, and I used those as my croutons.
Oh. Yeah. I see what you did there. Okay.
Yeah. And one of the judges said that I didn't utilize the pot roast in a can. Like, he doesn't taste the pot roast. You only have to use something from, like, if you have a can of things like that, you don't have to use it all. You don't have to just use the meat. You can use whatever, but he wanted, you know, something else. But they liked it still. So
nice.
That was a win.
Yeah.
And the dish that I went home on, I did ice cream also on the show.
Okay.
Which is also something else that you don't really necessarily do. because you can mess it up. Mm-hmm. But mine came out good. I just used pink peppercorns in it for some reason. So they mentioned that, like, I shouldn't have used the pink peppercorns. Just do a vanilla ice cream. Mm. It was vanilla in the basket. Do a vanilla ice cream. Overthinking it, right? Yeah. So, but I did like this. Oh, that round we had a hot dog pie.
What the fuck is that?
That's what we said. It's basically like chopped up hot dogs. Ew. And whipped cream that's like in this pie shell, and then it's got like hot dogs sticking around it.
Like just the weenie?
And it had like ketchup and mustard and relish like right in the middle. Like it was, ew. Yeah, it looked disgusting. But when I saw it, I immediately thought to use it like candied bacon, like that was like, because it's the salty. If I cut it up really small, like really thin, it can get crispy. So that's kind of where I went. But we also had apples in that basket as well. So I wanted to do like an apple pie, sweet and salty kind of thing.
Right, right, right.
So I did this baklava style like roll up with the phyllo dough, cut it up. This also didn't get aired, but when I was cutting my phyllo rolls, I realized that the dates that I used had the pits in them, and I had no idea. And I tried to like pick them out, and time's running down. And I originally was just gonna bake these things, but I had like 5 minutes left, so I threw them in the fryer, and I had no idea if it was gonna work or not. I just tried it, and so after like a minute, like I pulled one up, I was like, okay, I did like a test one, and I was like, all right, we're gonna go with it. And so they didn't see any of the pits, which luckily that was great, but Amanda Freytag's roll, the middle of hers wasn't done.
Oh no.
So that ended up being like my demise.
Damn.
Yeah. But it was so much fun. I met so many good people.
Yeah.
You know, normally it's four chefs and you know, you only get to meet three other people. I got to meet 15 other chefs.
That's nice.
You know, that now I have a network with.
Yeah.
So all around, you know, the US. So I'm blessed. I, you know, did the best that I could with what I had at the time. Of course, I would have done things differently looking back, but when you're in it, you just have to go with what you know. And I did my best, and I did a damn good job.
I'm proud of you. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. And then repping San Antonio
too. Oh, now I remember. Sorry, my first dish was, because I have to say this because it was my ode to San Antonio.
Okay.
It was an octopus and chorizo taco, and I did like a crispy spinach leaf because they gave us purple spinach. So I did a crispy. I fried that up, and then I did like a yogurt cilantro crema or something. But we had no Nopales. And I've never used those before. Oh. I mean, I've been here for so long, but I've never actually cooked with them. Uh-huh. I knew they got slimy. I didn't know how to take out the slime. So what did I end up doing? I peeled it, and I only peeled it because I overheard somebody saying that, you know, these are Nopales, you know, you got to peel them. And I was like, oh, shit, okay. So luckily I heard that. But they were good. They kind of lended to, like, the salsa that I did, tomatoes, pineapples, and did kind of like a little quick salsa.
I'm so hungry right now. Like, I'm like, and then tell me more.
Yeah.
Say it slower.
Yes, talk dirty to me.
Yes. An octopus though.
Mm-hmm. Get some crispy octopus. That actually, it turned out really, really well. I mean, obviously, I went to the next round because of it. So.
And chorizo.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Was it traditional or like soy?
No, like traditional.
Yeah.
Yeah. I attempted to make my own tortillas real quick, but that was not.
Yeah.
Like the pizza dough. Uh-huh. I was going to do that just real quick.
Yeah.
But I realized nobody actually knows this, but they didn't have self-rising flour. So I used flour and I had some yogurt, but as I'm mixing it, I'm like, shit, I didn't put any baking powder in there or salt like to make it rise. So I was like, fuck. Okay, I'm going to have to abort this mission. So, I was like fooling with it. It was everywhere. So I just went and got some pre-made tortillas. But they're there. Like, they're not gonna dock you from using the stuff that's in the pantry.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I mean, I know. We'll forgive you.
Yeah, I know. But next time, like when I do them for you know, around, I will make my own. Not for the masses, but like
yeah.
Next time I make it.
Yeah. So what's your next? I know we kind of talked about it that night, but have you decided on what your next like private experience is going to be?
Yeah, you know, I think I'm going to utilize that space a little more and just kind of rotate cooking classes as well as dinner parties, like right out of there. So they have an event space right there. You know, you can do a coursed meal that people pay tickets for. I think that would be awesome. So those things I'm focusing on getting my team together. You know, I just hired a social media manager. Actually today.
Oh, nice.
So we're going to be working on streamlining some stuff, getting everything looking the same, and content rolling out consistently. So I'm excited about the things that are coming up, but definitely look out for the virtual and in-person cooking classes and any pop-up dinner parties that I host. But anybody can always get like private cooking classes or dinner parties, date nights or whatnot in the comfort of their own home.
What do those run, or do you want to talk about it?
It depends. A lot of them depend. They generally start for the dinners. They generally start around 500 and go up, depending what the final menu is, all the things that are associated with it. But
And they'll get to cook it, or
I'll go to their house and cook it. And then cooking classes will start at like those are in between for in person in between 75 and 125 per person, depending on if it's a multi-coursed thing, if we're doing it in a group setting, or if it's just individuals.
I had a ton of fun.
Yeah.
It was a great time. Also love to cook, and so learning different techniques, learning how to do things, like watching you, I was like,
yeah, I love the participation, and I love when people actually like learn something, and you can like see it. They're like, oh, the light bulbs, and the light bulbs go off. I'm like, boom, I did something. Okay.
Yeah. No, I went home and I told my son, who's like obsessed with Alfredo. I was like, son, now I know how to do it from scratch.
Ooh,
he was like, what? I was like, oh, it's happening.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah. Yes. So I think it's exciting. Would you ever do them for kids?
Yes.
Okay.
Those will be also in the rotation. Like a mommy and me class.
Cute.
Daddy and me, parent and me, whatever.
Yeah. Whatever.
You know, yeah. I don't, I want to keep it like connection, not necessarily, It's education, but I don't want it to be necessarily like class. I want it to be something fun to do, something that you're learning as well. I'm practicing with my son as far as like the kids.
Okay.
With the kids is what I'm talking about. my son is 4.
Oh,
so
baby.
Yeah, I'm practicing with him because he needs to be able to make me eggs by the time he's 7.
Facts.
I need breakfast in bed stat. Okay.
I think I get toast every now and then. So, you know, we're working on it.
Working on it. How old is he?
He's 11.
Oh.
I know. Well, he's the one that asked me the other day. I think I told you, he was like, how old do you have to be to start cooking? And I was like, 3 years ago. But I just worry with like the grease and like all. So I'm like, we'll talk about temperatures and all that.
Right.
But outside of that, like, breakfast is essential, right? It's like quick eggs, sausage, whatever, bacon.
Right.
You know.
So how I taught another youth in my life was to get one of those electric flat tops. Because in those, you just kind of throw everything on. And starting with breakfast, they get one of those Bisquick, you know, mix kind of things. Mix up, follow, read the directions. You know how to read?
Yes.
Read the directions.
Yeah.
Mix up that water, you know. Those are pretty easy. Teach them how to do bacon in the oven. That's easy. And less popping.
Right.
Or you can torture them and then have them do it in the pan, because you know you got to learn some. You got to learn sometime. And then you learn how to do it the easy way in the oven.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I need to teach them something.
But yes, I will have classes for the youth.
I love that.
For the little babes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need more.
I know.
More chefs.
Yeah, because people need to know how to cook, man. Yes. You know, it's too many people that
it's wild to
don't
me.
know how to do anything. Like, yes. Like, nothing.
Literally, people ask me, like, oh, you cook? Like, what? Do you not eat? Like, how do you live? Like,
that's why I don't have no money, because I keep going out and eating.
I mean, I go out and eat, too, but I have to have, like, your basics at minimum. Like, I love to cook. I hate to clean.
Oh, well, that's also another reason why he needs to grow up a little bit. Yeah. You know, you need to do the dishes, man.
Oh, yeah.
I'm tired.
They've been doing dishes. They do laundry. I'm like, y'all cleaning. Like, this is your space, too. And you contribute. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Got to teach them.
Got to.
Yeah. So what's next for you? And not just chef life, like you personally, like what's your goal?
Whoa, yeah. Yeah. What's next for me? Really just, you know, I being the best version of myself and, you know, really enjoying the life that I'm living, like right now, you know, not necessarily worrying about the end goals, which are coming, which, you know, they're destined. So I'm just focusing on now and being joyous now. You know, I mean, everybody should have one, either a therapist or a life coach. Absolutely. Or something. Yes. You know, I've been talking to my life coach, shout out Marsha Mahaffey, with the I Love Me Center. Yes. So I've been seeing her for a little bit, and it's really just helping me. I wouldn't even say like change my perspective, because it's always been that, but just kind of helping me remember. And, you know, giving you the tools that you need to really combat any feeling other than happiness and joy. You know, there are so many things that go on that really don't matter. So I just want to, you know, pour into my son, pour into myself first. Like, that's
absolutely,
that's really my biggest thing, holding my boundaries, you know, and just, you know, living my best life.
Yeah.
Literally.
As you should.
Yeah.
I think too many people worry about other people.
Oh, 100%.
And
yeah.
Not focus on themselves. If they put mm-hmm. that much energy into focusing on other people and turn it back to themselves,
right,
life would be way different.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, society would be way different.
Right.
Like,
right.
Stay in your lane. Worry about yourself.
Yeah, because if you're happy and you're doing, then you're going to be doing that to other people.
Yeah.
Like, it spills over. And then and then you don't have to worry about the other people in your life that are doing that or not.
Yeah.
Because either they're going to drift left and disappear, mm-hmm. or they're going to get with the program.
Yeah.
And it's not you having to change anyone. It's just attractionally. I think I just made that up.
It's okay. I'm rolling with it. I'm like, yes.
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 It's just like there's no way that people around you don't align with what you're doing.
Absolutely.
It's either they leave because they're not in alignment, or the people around you get in line. It's just scientifically, that's just what happens.
Right. That, and like, I think so many people are like passive aggressive because they're threatened by what you're doing or in something that they lack within themselves.
Yes. And that's all it is.
So, right. And it's projection.
Yeah.
But stop it. Whoever it is. Well, just don't hate. Just love one another.
Yeah.
If you can, if you don't. And I'm very big on, like, if you don't fuck with somebody, don't. But also don't trash them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like.
Yep. Yep. You leave them where they're at. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
There's not going to be. You're not going to please everybody. Like, it's not. But you don't have to worry about people, like, not fucking with you. Like,
right.
You just do what makes you happy.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, just do what makes you happy.
Yeah.
And everything else will fall in line. Like, just live in love.
Yes.
Live in love. That's my bottom line.
Right. And you're right, like, you attract what you put out.
Right.
So if you're putting out love and positivity, you're gonna get that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
that's what I believe.
Yeah,
that's what I believe. I got this tattoo on my arm. It says exude love.
Oh, nice.
Because that's what we do.
Yes.
We do that.
Yes.
Gang, gang.
Yeah, yeah. I'm on that kind of gang.
Yes.
Yeah. So Marsha actually was the one who messaged me.
Right.
It was last week.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right, right.
Yeah.
Well, I had talked to her that day. I had went to go see her that
mm-hmm,
day.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going through my processes of just the cooking class in itself. You know, I had sold 3 tickets, and I was kind of beating myself up about it for a minute. And she was like, she was like, wow, 3 people, like, that's great. I was like, but, you know, it's always 3 people. And she's like, it could have been none. It could have been, you know.
True.
It could have been. And even if it was 1, and I'm like, oh, yeah. You know, it just kind of, like, reminds me. And then it dawned on me. I was like, well, and I also only put it out 6 days ago. She was like,
yes.
Girl, you got 3 people in 6 days. Like,
that's a lot.
It is.
Yeah.
And then I kind of, she was like, whoever it is that's supposed to be there, you know, it's going to be great. I was like, yeah, you're right, right. And then it dawned on me to just kind of fill up the spaces, mm-hmm. you know, comp some tickets, you know, get some people in there with some good energy that we can make this promo video.
Yeah.
And so that the next time mm-hmm. I do it ahead of time, I have the materials to do it. And, you know, and it gets even more people, you know, so everything happens divinely, like in the right order.
Yeah.
And you have to love every part of it. And even the 3 people that were originally scheduled, I'm super grateful for them. And I'm grateful for all of you that filled in the class and made it a really, really cool experience.
No, yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah,
it was great. I can't wait for more.
Yeah.
And I'll help you. I'll share them for you. Help you market.
For sure.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah. How do you feel about chef life here in San Antonio? Like, do you feel like it's competitive? Do you feel like there should be more competition? Because I hear that San Antonio is the culinary capital of Texas now. I don't know how you feel about that.
No, that's probably not true.
that was your visit to San Antonio. So
yeah. Well,
could be marketing.
I think that all the places in Texas have something different to offer.
Mm-hmm.
I think that all the places in Texas are on the up climb. Like, they're, San Antonio is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
They are behind the 8-ball a lot of the times.
Mm-hmm.
Houston, Dallas, you know, Austin, been doing things, you
right.
know, gastronomy, you know, things in that nature, and just kind of elevating food,
mm-hmm.
giving different options. San Antonio's coming. They're coming. The food scene is definitely doing something. The people here haven't necessarily caught up to it yet. But there are markets for all of the above. Like, there are people who are yearning for things like that, like me, like you. Like, we're waiting for those new restaurants to pop open. But the thing about these new restaurants is they need to have experience in the service industry. You mm-hmm. can't just have money and right. open up something and think you can put anybody in the kitchen or anybody in your front of the house and think that it's going to thrive, because mm-hmm. it's absolutely not.
Yeah.
We see that with a couple of restaurants who have just closed. I will not name any names, but if you know my story, the last place that I worked, that's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's just people that own money, that have money, and they don't care about people. Like, we're the people who are working for our living.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to care about people. The people who work for you, but also the people who you're servicing.
Definitely.
Because you have to want to give them a service, and it has to be consistent.
Yeah. How do you feel about the scene itself, though, like, amongst other chefs?
Of the competitiveness. I think that there should be a lot more camaraderie and working together. Me personally, I'm constantly reaching out to other chefs and seeing if, you know, people want to collaborate and things like that. But I do see it being, like, difficult to, for whatever reasons, match up schedules, the desire to, you know, they may not actually want to, you know, but there are different levels of chefs. And I think a lot of times also it's kind of like a popularity contest as far as who gets the clients. And a lot of that has to do with the Facebook groups or, you know, the tags and the mentions when people, you know, who knows a da da da, and usually the same people are on there, you know, saying the same names, and they've only experienced that one person. So I do kind of encourage people to try different people, and not, you know, based on price per se, because one, you get what you pay for. Mm-hmm. So you can take the cheaper route all day and you're going to get that experience. And if that's, you know, the standard of experience for you, then that's the standard of experience. But I think that there definitely is a competitiveness in between chefs that shouldn't be so competitive. There's every single person has to eat multiple times a day. There's so many people that can get fed, and it absolutely should not be a competition.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm willing to work with anybody. Like, I want to start doing, like, you know, we can, if we want to do competitions, like, we can do like a little friendly competition, sell tickets, and we both win, you know, let's share spaces. Let's,
right.
You know, collaborate more on content. Like,
yes.
You know, it doesn't have to be just big influencers that are getting together and doing collaborative content.
Yes.
Like, you know,
I agree.
Yeah. So,
yeah. And then mixing up, like, you know, like you and I, like, I was at your event. I'm telling everybody about it. Like, my friends, followers, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, they're all seeing that. They're like, what's that? Mm-hmm. You know? And then once I post it and then we share it, like, we're sharing those interactions and that commentary. And that's putting a something in people's heads, like, oh, I didn't know about that. Yeah, that'd be awesome. Hey, next time, you know? So they're looking out. It's right. Planting seeds,
yeah.
But it's a form of collaboration. And so, yeah, I think there definitely should be more. Like, I love that idea, the competition.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, you both win.
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the day, you both get an audience. You both make ticket sales, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I think people are, they're too busy comparing themselves instead of just being like, hey, we're chefs. Let's do something.
Yeah.
Instead, like, oh, I'm a better chef than you, or I get more clients than you, or, you know, dish for dish, you can do a better dish than I can do a better dish, but I'm sure there's a dish that I can mm-hmm. do that's better than yours, but
right.
who's to say what's better or not? Because
right.
there's somebody that does love it, and, you know, so it's all subjective, and you can't really dwell on that.
Yeah.
What do you want to do? Who do you want to reach? Like, do right. you want to create community, or do you want to, you know, go against it?
I agree. And it could be who they know versus the product they're putting out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of people that get opportunities. I don't want to say that aren't deserved, because I feel like every door opens for a reason for everybody. Right.
Exactly.
But I'm like, how do I say this? Because I don't want to come off as like rude or ugly, because I'm not. But. Like, for instance, if I don't know if this is the case, but let's say somebody gets like a Spurs player, and they just got that Spurs player because they just happened to have a
right
uncle
doesn't mean they're necessarily
right.
better
so
or anything.
You could potentially be making better food. They just got that because they
exactly.
just knew somebody who
exactly.
knew somebody.
And what you should do, everybody watching, is wish them well.
Absolutely.
Don't talk down on anybody. That's gonna block your blessings.
For
you know,
sure.
You're going to miss whatever you're supposed to get because you're worried about somebody else getting
Definitely.
Something.
Yeah.
Wish them well. Like, that is a great opportunity for them. You know, I wish them nothing but the best. And then manifest your own shit.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Work on your own self so that you can get good opportunities like that, because it's absolutely possible. And what if you do that and you get a better experience,
right.
you get a better opportunity, like somebody's flying you out somewhere and
yeah.
you know, so that person's got to stay here now because they, you know, that just wasn't in the cards for you. Everybody has a different story.
Yes.
Everybody's got different networks, and different people. They meet different people at different times. Like,
yep.
that's just like seeing like somebody that's married and like, you want to be, you're single and you're just like looking down on them. You're never going to see anything if you think like that. So
right.
it's all about just exuding positivity.
For sure. Yeah. No, I love that. Okay. So how do people find you?
I can be found on my Instagram, The Real Chef Sidtastic. That is The Real Chef Sidtastic. You can also find me on Facebook, Sydney Wilcox or Chef Sydney. And on my website, chefsydney.com. I also have a YouTube, but it's like some numbers. I got to change it.
so
I don't, yeah.
It's like user.
It's like, yeah,
whatever.
It's like sydney.wilcox and then some numbers. I'm
yeah.
not sure. I got to figure out how to change it. But that's my social media manager, and she's going to change that for me.
Perfect. Yeah. No, and social media is huge.
It's everything.
It really
like
is.
Right now, it's everything. There are other ways to meet clients, but if you want to be like relevant to the masses, and that's ultimately what I want to do, I want to reach more people. And how do you reach more people? You can't reach more people just doing things in San Antonio. You can't reach more people just doing things on Instagram. So I you got to spread it out.
Yeah. I mean, TikTok is huge.
And TikTok. Oh, yeah. Chef. I have a TikTok, too.
There you go.
Chef Sid in your mouth. Chef Sid, I-N-Y-A-M-O-U-F.
I was like, please be M-O-U-F.
M-O-U-F. In your mouth.
In your mouth.
Yeah.
So good. I love that. Yeah. You could blow up on TikTok. If you haven't already, I don't know what your number is.
I've got about 5,300.
Okay, yeah.
For now, yeah.
That's good.
And you know what the what kind of got me the bulk of them was I was on live. So I had more than 1,000. So I was on live, and for Christmas I was doing tamales. And it was for my first time, like, really doing, like, tamales. And I was doing it by myself. But I had, like, a shit ton of them. But they were, like, on my counter.
Yeah.
On my marble counter. And I'm just, like, doing them. I don't have gloves on because you don't have gloves on when you do tamales.
No.
But the people on there, they were on there hating. I had like 3,000 people at one point, and they're just like, where are your gloves at? Where are your gloves at? Where are your gloves at? What's on the counter? But they got me the comments. They got me, you know, more attention. I was like, thank you. Come back.
Yeah.
Come back.
Oh my God.
So thank you, haters, for getting my followers up, my views up, my comments up. Yeah. Appreciate you.
I know I can go live. And I just don't know what the fuck to do. So I just don't do
right,
it.
Right, right. They're so, that's so funny. I'll turn on my live and I'll, and usually it's like, I'm about to make dinner and I'm like, oh, I should go live.
Yeah.
It's like not structured at all. You know, I just turn it on. And then if I like, nobody's talking to me, or if I like, feel, I'll just turn it off. Like, I don't even say bye or nothing. I'm just like,
okay.
Okay, bye. See you later. I just like get uncomfortable and I'm like, I gotta go.
I don't want to be one of those that's like doing my makeup or like, oh, I'm going to wait for more people to come on.
But it doesn't matter though. It literally doesn't matter what you do. Cause I've seen people that just do nothing.
I've seen people sleep.
They sleep. Or like even I could just play something on my Bluetooth and just have it running.
Yeah.
And just have the stars on the wall. Like, nothing. I've seen one, she demands people not to send her gifts.
And they do?
Of course they do. Of course they do. I know.
I'm going to do that.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't want your gifts.
Don't you send no gifts. I'm going to kick you out of here if you send another gift. Of course people are going to send gifts. People love being rebellious. That's a genius idea, but it's also crazy.
Dang.
It's
no, crazy like, that people. Don't watch me. Don't talk to me.
Exactly.
Don't send me gifts.
Oh my God.
Here's my cash out. Don't send me money.
Don't send me money at all because I'm not broke. Don't ever do that. I'm going to send it back.
Yeah.
No. You won't hear that from me.
Yeah. My cash up is a Nathaniel 210. Thank you. So
yes.
Much.
Mine is a Chef Sid, lowercase chef, uppercase C, ID.
Yeah. Perfect. Cool. Any words of advice that you have for maybe budding chefs or current chefs?
I would say, don't let anybody steal your light. I know in a restaurant community, for sure, they could get, caught up in doing for other people and even, you know, having to kind of silence yourself to do something else that, you know, your chef wants you to do or, thing that you wouldn't necessarily do, you know, don't let anybody dim your light. Stay in positivity, stay in love, even in those, and don't give in to the darkness. Because a lot of chefs, it's just in that kind of cycle. So I hope that they, keep their light and don't let anybody shake you.
Yeah. So if they have any questions, they can DM you.
Yeah. My DMs are always open. I'm very responsive.
Yeah.
Definitely reach out. Reach out to me.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. It's been awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. I definitely want to work with you more.
Yeah, we will. Yeah. We will. Like, let's just make it happen.
If you ever need a taste tester at any point.
I always need taste testers. But see, my taste testers also have to be my dishwashers. So.
Oh, shit.
Bring the boy. Bring your kids. Done. Like, yes. Mine's not tall enough, but, you know, yours can get put to work.
I got a teenager, too.
Exactly. Yeah.
Put him to work. Yeah. Done. All right. Cool. Well, thank you again for being here.
Thank you.
Guys, thanks for watching. Make sure that you like, share, follow, do all that. Support local always. And don't forget to follow me. I always forget to plug myself. It is official Nathaniel210 on Instagram and whatever. I don't know Tasha Gonzalez. Just find me, okay?
Just find me, okay? Look for y'all me. Know your the internet's yes. going internet. They're going to yes. find
Google
you.
Google me. You can get all the links. But yes, thank you for watching, for sharing, yes. And for supporting me. Please make sure to subscribe to my page. Thank you to Vodpod Media again for housing and producing, and to Latina Podcast Network for having me on your network. I will see you guys next time.
Yay!
Bye.
Peace. Sweet.